We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sayre, Oklahoma. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you had a great weekend. Saturday was just, I know it wasn't like winter cold, but that wind is brutal. It probably is the internet, but the SOS was showing up on my phone again this morning, and has a couple times earlier this morning. And I think people are having some issues with the internet. So if you get a chance, or you might be having some internet problems between here and Woodward, if you can't hear me up there on KWFX 100.1, go to our Facebook page, kcofm.com, and you can watch me on Facebook or listen to me on Facebook or on our Paragon Communications app, free app on your phone, or kcofm.com. You can just Google that and come up. I'm sorry. It's not me this time. So we'll see if we can get some stuff worked out. I don't know if it's the internet or if it's the cell phone service or what's happening, but it's just not happening. Let's check out some temperatures in our listening area. Let's start up in the northern part, because that's where it's below freezing. 29 at Arnett, 26 at Buffalo, 26 at Alva, 33 at Butler, 36 at Eric, 39 at Hollis, and 36 at Hobart. A little chilly out there. I think the winds, I'll check the winds out here in just a minute. They're getting it. Out here in the Texas Panhandle, it's got to be something, because the Texas Mesonet is not working, period. Refreshed it 3 times and nothing is coming up. And yep, it says network error, try again. So it's not my fault, I promise you. Let's see what the winds are doing. They're getting it. Fourth of Oklahoma, not a lot of wind going on there, but you hit like Arnett going across to Camargo, that direction south, it's a getting it. With looks like everybody's in the sustained around 20 to 25 with gusts up to 30, almost 40 miles an hour, but not quite. So there we have it. What did I do this weekend? Oh, it's calving time. They're early. I don't care. It's great. Babies are dropping left and right. I sat out there yesterday evening, and those babies are a couple, 2-3 days old, some of them, and they're starting to exercise, running wild, and it's just hilarious to watch those mamas chasing them around. If them moms could stand up on their back feet, I'm pretty sure they'd be giving them little kids are whipping, but it's fun to watch. It's really fun to watch. But some of my friends were down from Chicago. Or wait a minute, let me. There's a couple of them from Chicago. They said up there, there's Chicago and then there's Illinois. Is their exact words. Down quail hunting, had a good time. Matter of fact, Friday? Yeah, Friday, in that fierce wind, there was a they got 10 coveys up. So they did pretty good. And then I got some friends from Nevada and Arizona that were also down. So we got together. Frank, my buddy from Arizona, he had to have some. He said he doesn't like catfish, but he likes the catfish they cook down here at Simon's Catch. So we met up down there. Well, I was waiting on them. I was sitting on a little bar stool there by the cash register. And this gentleman and his daughter walked up to me and asked me, "Hey, are you Jimmy Clark?" I said, "Yeah." And he said his daughter, when she's not in school and riding around with him, she listens to him. But to come find out, I didn't know this was going on. So bear with me on this, because I don't know if I'll get the whole names, all the names right. But her name was Emma Thompson, I believe. And she is part of the Red Dirt Trick Riders over at Clinton Arapahoe. And I'm not sure the last name of her friend. I don't even know if it might be her sister. I don't know. But the other girl that helps her. So I got to watching this morning on the Red Dirt Trick Riders Facebook page. And, man, they are good. I think she's, 9 or 10 and in fifth grade. And cute as button, too. So I want to give a big shout-out to Emma, because she listens to me. But you guys check out their Facebook page, Red Dirt Trick Riders, and on horses, of course. And they're really good, and both girls are really cute and a lot of fun to watch. And matter of fact, they got they got mentions on KWTV Channel 9 one day. So pretty good deal. So Emma, thanks for coming over and not being bashful and introducing yourself to me. It was very nice to meet you and your dad. So I love stuff like that. And what else going on? Catfish was good. Man, there's a lot of people in there. I seen Sir Clem was out there. They were probably having a late Christmas party. Chad Newman was there, and he actually had fixed his hair. And so that was good. Appreciate that. I seen him referee in a game at Merritt here a week or so ago, and his hair, it was bad. I'm just giving him help. But now they were all there, and I don't know. There was a lot of people I seen there was doing good. So it was busy. That place was crazy busy Saturday night, which is fine. That's good business. Eat local. Support your local community is what I got to say. I think the markets are all shut down today because of the federal holiday. As far as I've seen on my updates a while ago, nothing really going on in there. I know the cattle market was down Saturday or Friday, basically $8 on the board on the feeders and $3 or $4 on the deal. But man, the sale barn at Elk City was crazy. Friday I stopped in there. Cotton King was there, Donnie was there, Ronnie was there, all the top shelf buyers up there on the top row was there, so was the lower shelf buyers. I'm just making fun of them, but I did go in there and holler out Boomer, and of course Cotton King, he hollered Sooner back, so that was pretty good. But I just think it's funny. You know what, some of the guys come to town, even if they brought cattle or not, they get in their best clothes to come to the sale barn. I'm talking about one of my friends over there around Grimes. He looked like he was ready to go to church. I just think it's funny they dress up to come to town to the sale. Just, you know, funny. he looked so cute in his Sunday clothes and his good boots. But no, it was pretty good sale. I will, before we talk about it tomorrow, Brandon coming on, there was a set of calves in there, weaned, weighing 363. Let me get my numbers correct here. Let me make sure here. I'm pretty sure I've heard it enough that it's, that was good. There we go. Yes. Weighing 360. There was 21 of them weaned the whole 9 yards, weighing 360, brought $6.15 a pound. How about that? So anyway, we'll talk more about what happened to the Elk City sale barn tomorrow with Brandon, and we'll see what happens at Western Oklahoma today. What else is going on? Livestock commissioner from Texas, Sid Miller, has got a bunch of people all in chaos and mad and everything because he keeps bringing up the it's something to be concerned about. Don't get me wrong when I say this the way I'm going to say it, about the New World screw worm, but he's just taking it to another level. And he's got a lot of ranchers and ag people, cattle people mainly, up in chaos and wishing he'd just keep his mouth shut, because that's probably part of the reason why board was down almost the limit Friday. So more of that going on. So I had a good conversation with a vet this morning, and a lot of you guys will remember Dr. Rule. I called him, and the reason why I called him was to ask him about the New World screwworm back in the middle 60s, because him and Gail and Dr. Hinkle were in the vet business here locally and talk about it. And he said, oh yeah, it was for real. You know, it's, you know, a lot of dehorning going on, castration going on and stuff. But I was asking him, what I asked him about was, you know, the death of cattle from the New World screwworm. And that wasn't a major conversation, but it was, you know, it took a lot of time, a lot of labor, and take care of any infections that you had from that fly that got into, baby calves on their navel, and castration and dehorning and laceration from any animal. It wasn't just cattle, it was horses, goats, anything. You know, even a dog could get it. And I noticed in a report that I read this morning from down in Mexico, they've even had some reported cases in humans. Is it something to joke about? No, not at all. But according to what a lot of people are saying on social media over the weekend, news reports and stuff like that, you know, they just, they're trying to cause chaos, some of the people, the way they're talking about it. And hopefully we can get the, with all these sterile flies, stations coming up in South Texas, that one down there at that retired, or that Air Force base, and Mexico stepping it up and stuff. Hopefully we can get it eradicated. So history shows that the New World screwworm was basically eradicated here in southwestern United States and Oklahoma included in that, like in 1966, and it was due to the sterile fly. That's the main cause of it. And but we'll, you know, I'm just telling you guys what's going on with the New World screwworm, and maybe because a lot of these producers that I've been talking to, cattle people, are talking about, you know, if the screwworm was getting closer than it is right now into the United States, that it should make cattle prices go up, but not down. So just people, it's crazy times. You never know. Well, today is the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association happy hour. So let's take an OCA break. We'll be right back after this.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I was impressed that he came to my barn. That is what I like, is service. Service says a lot. I have not even been to his office. My time is very valuable to me. I'm very busy. It's a 35-minute drive from my house to Mangum. I don't want to drive down there every time I need something. That's going to kill at least 2 hours of my day, and I don't have that kind of time to spare. So when I get in business with somebody like this that gives me that kind of service, I respect the job that they're doing, and I appreciate the service that they're providing to me. I'm ecstatic. I'm very glad. It worked out like it was supposed to. You know, I don't think I could have picked a better insurance agent. My name's Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Hey folks, this is EJ Gredeman with ASCO Equipment out of Elk City, Oklahoma. If you need rental equipment, I got your back. From excavators to wheel loaders, telehandlers, and forklifts, we rent the brands that you know and trust. With flexible terms, responsible service, and expert support, we're here to keep your job on track. Need equipment? We're on it here at ASCO Equipment. Visit ASCOEQ.com or stop by our Elk City branch, 513 West 20th here in Elk City, Oklahoma. Or you can just give me a call, 580-243-9233. Appreciate it, folks, and y'all have a blessed day.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Life gets a lot easier when you've got the tools to handle the cold. Like generators, because losing power is not an option. Propane heaters and portable heaters keep you warm and working. Heated jackets and vests keep your core warm. Gloves! For your vehicle, anti-freezing wiper fluid, battery charger, engine starters, flashlights, rechargeable hand warmers, WeatherTech floor mats to protect your floorboard, D-Gel diesel, scrapers, and de-icer. You know who's got all this. Napa Auto Parts in Elk City, 716 West 3rd.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Yeah, farmers can be pretty tough because it's a hard world in farming, you know, in the farming market. It's tough. So they're going to do all they can to get the best deal they can, and we're going to give it to them. Everything for maintenance on your equipment, changing your oils, you need some antifreeze, you need some hydraulic oil, any kind of grease. We got the bolts and fasteners now. We're opening up electrical fittings, zip ties, penetrating oils. Camrock is the name of the company. It's 2111 South Main, Elk City, south of Fred's Steakhouse.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Something's going on. I actually got Texas Mesonet back now. I think it was them. I know it was. 34 degrees at Lipscomb. Wind chills 23. Humidity is 43. Dew point's 14. The winds are out of the northeast at 21 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 26. Peak wind gusts so far today, 39. And we had 477 sub-freezing minutes today. No red flag minutes. 8-inch soil temperature, 41 degrees. I was going to say we're going to do the Central Crop Care out of Hobart, Oklahoma's grain market update, but there's nothing to update there. So we'll let them sponsor the livestock auction updates from Oklahoma and Texas from last week here in just a second. I wanted to fill you in a little bit on what the fire situation report is from the Oklahoma Department of Forestry. And it looks like things might just be a little better this week than they were last week. I don't know if you guys caught wind of the fires that were happening last Friday afternoon around in Roger Mills County. There was a couple of them by Durham and another one, I think, by Rowland, another one by Strong City, if I remember right. And they're investigating those. They were kind of suspicious. Something's going on. Everything was suspicious there. They think somebody might have been setting in, but I haven't got that report yet. But they were really cool. But I think what was really cool is your emergency services in each county have access to the National Weather Service now. And I need to get one of those guys on to come and explain it. But they can see hot spots now before maybe even the humans call it in. And that's what happened up there in Roger Mills County the other day. I think they got their calls, National Weather Service called the Roger Mills County Emergency Services and told them of a hot spot up by Durham before they even got their first call. The fire department was already en route. So I need to get one of those guys on to explain it a little better. But that's really cool because 5 to 10 minutes in a wildfire is a lot. So if there are, if they can get there 5 to 10 minutes earlier and knock those hot spots down, and they did a great job up there. They got them knocked down. I don't think any major damage happened. And one of them was headed towards a house. And so I think that's pretty cool. And we'll have to, like I said, I'll get somebody on to explain it 100 times better than I can. Let's see here. Outlook for current forecast of weather and fuel conditions throughout the week points to a temporary reduction in fire danger concerns that have dominated most of the January so far in Oklahoma, especially western Oklahoma. Potential for rainfall this week is, or not rainfall, but snow and ice is in the forecast for Thursday and Friday. I think winter's finally going to hit here, guys, so everybody needs to get prepared. Get your towels, your all your stuff that you do while you're calving, because you're probably going to need it this weekend. And the weather's going to turn crappy on us, and we're going to see what's going on. Oh, I thought he was going to come on the show with me, boss. Grabbed the mic like he was some stud DJ out of Elk City. All right, we got, so that's what's on the outlook. And hopefully we do get, I don't care if it snows 10 inches, let it come. We need the moisture. According to the, see if we get an update on the county burn bans real quick. A little, it's always, they got to go through a lot of stuff here. I think it's the same as it was last week. Actually, it's saying Harmon County's not on there. I don't believe that. Harmon County is one of the counties in the burn ban. Grady, McLean, Cleveland, Pottawatomie, Garvin, Cotton, Jefferson, and Bryan counties are the burn ban, county-wide burn bans there. So just be careful out there with what you're doing outside on a windy day like today. Just don't do nothing out there. It'll simplify all that stuff. Okay, since we don't have a grain market update, we're going to do a Central Crop Care Oklahoma Weekly Cattle Auction Summary. How about that? 47,727 head went through the sale barn last week compared to 43,000 the week before and 38,000 last year. Feeder cattle brought up was 94.4% of that, 3.3% of that was slaughter cattle, and 2.3% was replacement county. Compared to last week, feeder steers and steer calves $1 to $7 lower, except $500 to $550, $10 higher, which makes five weight steers average $5 a pound for the first time ever. Feeder heifers were $1 to $5 higher. Heifer calves over 500 pounds, $2 to $5 lower. Under 500 pounds, $3 to $8 higher. Slaughter cows, $1 to $3 lower. Slaughter bulls, $2 lower. This week's sales were difficult to predict, with prices showing mixed direction. Buyers appeared more cautious with their dollars, which likely contributed to heifers trading higher while most steers moved lower. It was noted that some of the calf and stalker buyers were at cow sales this week, buying older bred cows and open cows to return to feed or wheat. Buyers appear to be chasing the elusive hole in the market, but it seems there may not be one at this time. I did talk to Rex with the sale down there, that dispersal sale at Apache Saturday. He said they had to find chairs, more chairs, bring more chairs in for people, is how crazy that was. And the market was really good. I don't know any of the numbers yet, but when I see them, I'll let you guys know. Let's check out some, let's go to some three weights compared to what they were bringing at Elk City Friday, since I knew what was going on that here. It says here, there was 17 head weighing 303 to 341, average weight 322, were 585 to 640. 606.59 was the average price, and these were unweaned ones. Pretty nice. All right, then there was the 430 weights. Weaned were bringing $5 to $6.20. The five weights, let's see here. Let's get some weaned ones. There we go. 529 weights, a bunch of them, almost 1,000 head of them. 447 to 545, average price $500.06. Pretty nice. And then we got some, get find some six weights here. Here we go. 677 weights, weaned, were averaging, were anywhere from $3.66 to $4.40. Some unweaned ones were anywhere from $4 to $4.52. There you have it, weighing 609. A little lighter than the 677s, but other than that, it was pretty good. Oh, here we go. 340 to 417, 386.05 for comparison to those 677 weights at 673. All right, let's see here. Let's see what the cows were doing. Let me ease down here away from the steers. I got to scroll through there, so bear with me a second till I get to this. I don't know. I'm already on page 9. There we go. Breaker cows, quite a few of those, over 200 head sold in Oklahoma, reported last week. The highs were in the 159 to 185 range. Average was 160, 155. Average on the highs was 168. Average lows, 153.50. Boners were, average was 157.96, and high was 163.31. And the lows on one was 146.26 on the boner cows. And on the lean cows, quite a few of those too. Anywhere, see here, where's the average? Average is 151.32, high was 157.66, low was 133.12. Bulls, about 150 of those reported through the sale barns in Oklahoma last week. And it looks like the average was 179.50. High was 191.64 average. See some 204s in there. And the lows was anywhere from 128 to 181, with that average being around 168.12. Let's see what happened out here in Texas. 9,579 went through the sale barn compared to 9,300 last week and 10,200 last year. Feeder cattle made up 85.7% of that. Slaughter was 8.5% and replacements was 5.8%. Compared to last week in Texas, feeder steers and heifers sold $2 to $12 higher. Some instances up $20 to $40 higher on lightweight stocker calves. Demand was good with cattle coming off very short wheat due to dry conditions across the panhandle. Slaughter cows and bulls were $3 to $6 higher. And what we got here? Let's check out their little three weights on the steers. We have some 376 wings were bringing anywhere from 535 to 625. Unwinged ones was bringing anywhere from 565 to 585. Four weights, see if it's challenging here. There we go. 78 of them, average from 471, was bringing anywhere from 454 to 565. Five weights, winged, 578, anywhere from 4 to 485. And then six weights was, do we got any? Yep, 618s, bringing anywhere from 378 to 441. Average on those, 419.43. And there you have it. Okay, let's take an OCA break, and we'll be right back after this.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Valley Center pivots are the most durable and reliable you can find. But when you do need replacement parts, your operation deserves the best. Valley Genuine Parts. Knutson Irrigation has been serving growers since 1981, and their experienced service technicians stand behind every part in their fully stocked warehouse. They also service other pivot brands. So when you need fast service and reliable parts, you need Knutson Irrigation. Call them for service or visit KnutsonIrrigation.com for more info.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. High Pro Feeds has built their reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. Their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. High Pro is a name you know and trust. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your trusted High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmandGarden.com.
Kent Watkins here with SEI AgriTech in Elk City, Oklahoma. Are feral hogs causing damage to your land and crops? Try Kaput, our highly effective bait designed specifically for feral hog control. Kaput targets hogs where it hurts, helping you protect your property and your livestock. Don't wait for the damage to get worse. Call us or stop by today at SEI AgriTech on South Randall in Elk City, to learn more about Caput. Follow us on Facebook for the latest updates and solutions.
Thank you just doesn't seem to be enough. There are lots of places to buy cars and lots of places to have them serviced. We are really humbled by the trust you placed in us at Barber Dyson Ford last year. We don't take it for granted. You're the reason we had a terrific 2025. It was all because of you, and thank you for that. If you need us in 2026, we'll still be in the northeast part of Elk City and online at barberdysonford.net. We'd be honored to serve you this year.
When you've got a problem, an issue, you can usually sit down and we can get it figured out while you're there. If it's something that we can't figure out right that day, it's usually within a day because everybody's accessible. If there's something that needs to be done loan-wise, we can get that ran to wherever it needs to go. Or if you just need help up front with some accounts or whatnot, I can walk you up there and introduce you to somebody and hang out with you and talk you through it. I can explain to Tammy or Tori or someone up front, hey, we've been discussing this. This is where we're at.
I'm Utah Robinson, and I help make the difference. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, January the 9th. 2,569 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 432 brought 545. 9 at 527 brought 450. 15 at 580 brought 425. 5 at 653 brought 390. 10 at 869 brought 333. 8 at 1,005 brought 320. 7 head of heifers at 382 brought 495. 19 at 426 brought 5 at 514 brought 415. 16 at 563 brought 367.50. 10 at 575 brought 370. 15 at 604 brought 359. 9 at 607 brought 365. Butcher cows 28 to 180. Butcher bulls brought 121 to 206. Bred cows 1,000 to 4,500. Pairs 2,300 to 3,800. Elk City Livestock Auction 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
Now back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Monday. Alva, here's your northwestern Oklahoma ag weather update. 29, feels like 21. Dew point 6. Humidity's 37. The winds are out of the northeast at 9 miles an hour. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature 39. Sunset at 5:46. The old days are getting longer. Gradual clearing today. 35 for a high. Tonight, 21. Tomorrow, a little different. Sunny and 53 degrees. Be a nice day out there tomorrow. Okay. Well, I wanted to read this response from one of my listeners about what we're talking about, Sid Miller. And I'm not dogging on him. I want everybody to hear both sides of everything going on with the New World Screwworm. Is it a concern? Yes, it is. But it's not I don't know what to say about that. He said, my 2 cents. Sid Miller is scared to death at the thought of Mexican feeders being fed and slaughtered in Mexico instead of Texas, so he and his state have less power and influence for his state. It makes a lot more sense for foreign beef to be fed and processed in their country of origin. Add jobs to Mexican and Canadian economies, removes the whole product of the USA issue, along with elimination of possibility of disease transferred by live animals crossing our border. And I got 100% agree with that. And just me, it's true. So I think I mentioned it last week or the week before. You know, they've been, what has this ban been on since crossing the border since July of last year? Well, you guys know as well as I do, you can't just sit there and have those cattle in the pasture or in feedlots, not put any weight on them, or they're getting past the point of a butcher. So they had to do something. So the story I'd read has said that they have increased the size of that feedlot there south of the border. It is now the largest feedlot in the world, and they're feeding them. And then they're going to process them down there, and then they're going to be exported out of Mexico to wherever they go, whether it's here or wherever, and they're going to go. So that's what they got to do. That's what's happening. So I'm sure that is. And you still got to remember, and I mention it every time probably we talk about the New World Screwworm, is, you know, if you've never been to South Texas or the southern half of Texas, you don't know how many hunting ranches are down there, and high fence or non-high fence. Like I said, I've worked on it down there on the Briscoe Ranch and the Galvan Ranch right on the river down there, and it's a big deal. And I mean, have you seen that country? There's not just a lot of grazing for cattle down there, and they got cattle down there, but it's probably one ever 100 to 500 acres. That's how much they can handle down there. And I hope they like to eat cactuses and mesquite. That's because that's basically what it is. So as landowners down there, they've got their hunting ranches down there, and they're pretty elaborate. Some of them are, and some aren't. But they're making a good living. Or you've got corporations or oil companies that have bought land down there and made their own hunting deals for their employees and their customers to come to. It's a big business. Cattle versus deer or elk or whatever they're hunting down there, it's a whole different ball game with the screw worm. Yes. Cattle, we can doctor them, get them in the chute, do the thing. Horses, goats, the whole nine yards. And there's a lot of big goat farms down there now, ranches, whatever you want to call them. And, goat meat's becoming pretty popular. And so they can be tried. But when it comes to wildlife, deer, elk, et cetera, what are you going to do to doctor those animals there, the wildlife? You're not. Feral hogs, my favorite subject, feral hogs. What can we do? And they're just going to keep spreading it everywhere with that. It's one of those deals. Yes, it's serious stuff, but they don't need to scare the heck out of everybody on national media to a point where it's dropping, affecting us cattle people, our markets. So there you have it. I think that's the last of that for the day, maybe. All right. I did notice we talked about the poultry situation going on in eastern Oklahoma, and I'm going to have a lady come on. I'm not sure this week or next week, and Megan Langley. They actually have their producers, poultry producers over in eastern. She's going to come on, eastern Oklahoma. She's going to come on. And we're going to talk to her is from a producer's view. But I noticed a deal that our Oklahoma Attorney General, Drummond, he went to a meeting in, what is it, Westville? Yeah, Westville, Oklahoma. And he wasn't met with just the best of attitudes. But Oklahoma Attorney General Drummond met face-to-face with poultry producers January 15th in Westville, promising to pursue resolution to the state's long-running Illinois River watershed lawsuit that protects both clean water and family farms. The meeting held at the Barron Community Center and coordinated by Representative David Hardin followed a recent federal ruling ordering poultry companies named in the case to fund the $10 million in initial cleanup efforts and continue to do that for the next 30 years. The decision stems from Oklahoma's more than 20-year-old lawsuit over phosphorus pollution tied to poultry litter. Drummond acknowledged the anxiety in the room, telling producers their livelihood and mental health matter, but he made it clear he will not abandon the case. "I'm not quitting. I'm not dismissing," Drummond said. "I'm going to find a path that's fair and reasonable to make sure these people continue to have family farms and that Tyson and Simmons help continue to clean up Oklahoma waters." Drummond said that the lawsuit predates his time in office, but he said his role now is to bring a conclusion that works for Oklahoma. He rejected claims from large out-of-state poultry companies that environmental protections would cripple the industry. "I limit the outside attorneys to 10% of any recovery," he said, referring to legal fees tied to the case. That's not taking care of a big trial attorneys. That's taking care of Oklahoma," he said. Drummond said the state has already reached a settlement with one of the defendants, Georges Incorporated, based in Springdale, Arkansas, and that the same settlement framework has been offered to all remaining companies. "I believe that we will have a settlement soon," all the interrogators and talking to my office on a reasonable and fair terms, and we'll land this place. One key condition, Drummond said, is that poultry companies remain in Oklahoma. And that's what we need, and that's why I'm going to have Megan coming on here, because I've seen some of the responses from some of the actual chicken farmers that they are talking about, and, you know, it's, I don't know, we'll get her on here and talk about it. So, because in the settlement that I was sent from my friend up at, from Ceiling yesterday, Destry, she was telling, or she sent me the deal, and I haven't read 100% of it, but I've read part of it. It's going to affect us out here too. And sooner or later, it's going to affect us. And one of the little storylines she was telling me about, and I want you guys to listen to this. So one of the inspectors that was out there to inspect from the, I guess, Environmental Protection or whoever from Oklahoma was talking to somebody there, and one of the farmers there, and noticed the fish were small in either the river or creek running through there, because it's a whole different world over in eastern Oklahoma. And this inspector was saying something to the effect that the fish were small because of using dewormer on cattle. See where they're going next with this crap? So, yeah. Well, more to come on that story. So, all right, let's take another OCA break, and we'll be right back after this.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Have you ever wanted to broadcast high school sports, but were just a little bit worried about having no experience? This is Aaron Skinny Kalk, voice of the Elk City Elks. I was in that boat years ago. I took a chance and called a couple of playoff basketball games, and it was more fun than I thought it could possibly be. Now I'm on the call for every single game Elk City plays. That could be you. Paragon TV is expanding and is searching for broadcasters. If sports broadcasting is something that you want to try, go to ParagonTV.com and click the apply button. If you love sports and love to talk about sports, this job is for you.
Shopping with your parents can be embarrassing.
Why would they sell jeans with holes in them? I'm going to speak to the manager.
Mom!
That hoodie is giving. You should get it. YOLO.
Thanks to the Chase mobile app, your kid can shop independently while you keep an eye on their spending. So you can go from...
We can be twinsies!
To...
How was shopping? Saw you stayed on budget.
Thanks, Mom.
Freedom for kids, control for parents. That's family banking from Chase.
Account subject to approval. Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A., member FDIC.
The weather in Oklahoma is unpredictable, but your next truck doesn't have to be at Cummins Ford Lincoln in Weatherford. The new 2026 Ford F-150 has dependability that comes standard, built tough, ready for anything, and packed with the power and technology you need. Rain, wind, or shine, the Ford lineup is on the lot right now, so don't wait for the forecast to change. Cummins Ford Lincoln in Weatherford, just off I-40. Or online at CumminsFordWeatherford.com. Built Ford tough.
You don't want to let your cotton set in the field day after day waiting to be ginned. Now to better serve you, the cotton farmers in Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, Lone Star Gin has processed over 540,000 bales of cotton. They've got locations in Pampa, Texas, and now in Burns Flat, Oklahoma. Lone Star Gin has the ability to process over 2,400 bales per day. All they do is gin cotton. Go to LoneStarGin.com for more information, and you can find them on Facebook.
One of the computers here at the station was crashing, about to lose everything on it, and we didn't even know it. But Dennis knew because he was watching, and he warned us in time.
Hey, Gabe, it's Dennis. Our system detected that one of your computers has a hard drive that's about to fail.
Which one?
It's Nathan's.
So what do I need to do?
Well, we probably need to get it in the shop and get the drive cloned to a new machine before he loses any data off of it.
Do you have another computer in stock that we can just get it fixed real quick?
Sure, we've got some in stock. Just need to get it in, get it cloned over, and be good to go.
Okay, thanks a lot, Dennis.
You bet, sounds good. See you.
ITL monitors our computers at Paragon Communications remotely, so Dennis Teal knows there's a problem before we even know it. He helped us save years worth of valuable files. ITL's remote monitoring comes in very handy here at work. That kind of security system for your computers can keep your business running so you can keep making a living. As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for southwestern Oklahoma. Fort Cobb, 35 degrees, feels like 24. The dew point's 14. Humidity's 42%. Winds are out of the northeast at 21 with wind gusts up to 26. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 40 degrees. Sunset at 5:48, 37 for a high today. Might get there. Mostly clear, 17 tonight. 51 and sunny with no wind tomorrow. Maybe. We'll see what happens going on there. I need to talk about Big Elk TV and Paragon TV.com real quick. Big Elk TV basketball is on the road this week on BigElkTV.com. There are no Elk City games early this week. Both the Elkettes and Big Elks will compete in the Rocky Clark Invitational in Washington. Elks open up tournament play Thursday afternoon at 3:20 against Cash. The Big Elks open play Thursday evening at 4:40 or Thursday afternoon against Sulphur. From there, both teams move into bracket play Thursday and Friday with additional games determined by wins and losses. Follow Elk City basketball all week with the Rocky Clark Invitational on BigElkTV.com. And boy, all the smaller schools. What? Something wrong? So, yeah, maybe. Paragon TV has a full week of high school basketball coverage with tournament and regular season games across western Oklahoma. Monday's schedule include 4 tournament games. At the West Central Tournament at Swazoo, Sentinel versus Okarchee tips off at 4:30. Tune in to Bill and Jimbo as they get that going on. Hydro Eakley versus Canute Boys tip off 5:45. Canute versus Burns Flat Deal City Girls tip off at 7 p.m. Burns Flat Deal City versus Sentinel Boys at 8:15. Also on Monday with regular season action, Merritt's at Hollis today, tip off at 6 p.m. Eric at Sayre tips off at 6:30. Tuesday brings another busy night. Let's see here. Hydro Eakley versus Arapahoe Butler, 7 o'clock. Boys versus Thomas Fay Custer at 8:15. More regular season games tomorrow. Hammond at Sweetwater at 6:30. Shattuck at Cheyenne Raiden at 6:30. Anadarko at Merritt at 6:30 and Laverne at Leedy tip off at 6:30. Thursday through Saturday, tournament play continues. ParagonTV.com. Yo, let's get. All right, back to some different news besides screw worms and poultry. Let's go with USL of total ag tractors declined 14.8% in December of 2025 compared with December of 2024, according to the most recent report from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, AEM, also reported that combine sales fell 4.3% during this time, despite a year-over-year decrease. December 2025 saw a slight improvement from November of 25, which decreased by 19.6% from that year prior. Canadian combine sales increased by 26.1% in December compared with the year before, while tractor sales were down 13.7% from December of 2024. Curious why Canadian combine sales were up so much compared to the U.S. Did U.S. custom harvesters not go across the border, or what was going on there? Be interesting to find that out. December's data is a result of economic instability and pressures farmers have been faced for the month. We all know this. AEM Senior Vice President Kurt Blade said, throughout the short-term decline in sales, equipment manufacturers remain committed to supporting farmers with the equipment they need. As we look into 2026, AEM remains confident in the industry's resilience and unique ability to adapt. Tractor sales, December sales, total farm tractor sales in 14,581, revealing a 14.8% decrease from 17,000 sold last year. 195,857 farm tractors sold in 2025. That's down almost 10% from 217,000 in December of 2024. Total farm inventory began at 89,731 in December. The breakdown by horsepower, let's see what we got. Two-wheel drive, sub 40 horsepower tractors in December fell 18.9%. So there was a lot of fathers didn't get them a new tractor from mom for that month, was they? 7,595 sales this year, that year, and compared to 9,363 last year. A total of 122,854 sold in that category, and that was down 9.1% from 2024. December 2025 sales were two-wheel drive 40 to 100 horsepower tractors, decreased by 4.8%, with a total of 5,044 sales compared to almost 5,300 last year. Year to date, 52,812 tractors sold in that category. Sales for two-wheel drive 100 horsepower plus declined 18.6% in December with 1,696 sales and compared to 2,084 last year. Year to date, AEM reported 17,648 tractors sold in that category, falling almost 23% from December of last year. Big boy tractors, sales for four-wheel drive tractors decreased by 31.3% in December of 2025 with 246 sales compared to 358 sales last year. 2,543 tractors sold in that category, marking a 41.6% decrease from December 2024. Four-wheel drive tractor inventory is only at 560 for December. You know what that averages out to? A little over 10 tractors in each one of the 50 states in the United States. It's all that's available. Sales for self-propelled combines declined 4.3% in December with 422 sales in 2025 and are opposed to 441 in December 24. So I'm taking it on combine sales. I guess these cotton stripper balers are in this category. Am I right or wrong? Will somebody let me know? I don't know. Year to date, AEM reported 3,579 combines sold in 2025. That's down almost 36% from last year. Self-propelled combine inventory began at 845 in total inventory in December. There you have it. Okay. Let's see. If you guys get a chance, get on Beef Daily. Get on the Beef website, and water wars are continuing. This is even a different one. You need to read this whole story. It's talking about the Joyce livestock ruling in Idaho determined whether ranchers or federal agency hold stock water rights on grazing lands. And this is to include federal grazing lands. And they're, you got to read the litigation on this deal. It is crazy, but the last deal I read here, even if you got private water that you're watering on your own land, that probably came off federal land to get to your private land. Is that telling you something? If this water's draining off federal land into your private land, they're saying that that's federal water. So interesting stuff going on. Something's going on. The chicken deal with the water deal, worming, dewormer, causing fish to be smaller where there's cattle at in water. we got the screw worm deal going on, the economy deal going on, with farming commodity, you know, we got good prices with cattle if people just keep their mouth shut. And what else we got going on that we need to talk about? So, all right, guys, thanks a lot for listening today. You get a chance, you didn't get to hear it up in northwestern Oklahoma, we'll have it uploaded on YouTube soon and up on our website, kcofm.com, Today in Ag. It'll be uploaded there. You can watch it tonight on Facebook when you get off work or while you're driving. So, also, listen live, 96.5 KCO or 100.1 KWFX out of Woodward. You can hear it. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
We're like the flashlight on your keychain, helping you get the job done.
96.5 KECO, Elk City.